It's time for Hanson McLean Advisors Money Matters, hosted by Scott Hanson and Pat McLean, credentialed financial advisors serving you since 1993.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean. Thanks for joining us.
That's right. Hey, we've been broadcasting out of the Sacramento region for almost 20 years. We are new to KGO this weekend, so if the Bay Area, you're hearing us for the first time, welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I think you'll enjoy our program. Both myself and my co-host here, we are both financial advisors. We spend our weekdays working with people like yourself, certified financial planner, chartered financial consultant. We come here on the weekends to be your financial advisors on the air, and we take calls, answer questions. We talk about things that are relevant in helping people make some wise choices with their money.
And if you're new to the listener to our show, as many of you are, Northern California, one of the largest, Barron's 100 in terms of the top registered investment advisory firms in the U.S., and we have $2.1 billion under advisement.
Yeah, so anyway, our purpose here
is to help you.
Yeah, help you make wise choices with your dollars. And we talk about all kind of things financial, and you'll find our show maybe a little different than some of the other financial programs.
One I hope.
Is we get off topic sometimes, and we just talk about whatever we feel. Well, we try to make it somewhat entertaining and educational, not just trying to pitch people anything. And further, you'll find that this is really about educating people. We want people to be able, when they listen to our program, to leave with something that they can help them immediately with their own financial planning. And it's not really about us. It's about you.
Yeah. And there's our view of the investment community is that there's lots of landmines. There's many, many difficult choices that need to be made. It's ever changing in terms of just the economic landscape, but the tax landscape as well is ever changing.
Yeah.
And it's difficult.
So if you want to be part of the program, it's always easiest to get on early in the show before the lines are all lit up. And we've got, using a new number this week, it's 888-2-HANSON. So if you want to join the program, 888-2-HANSON. Hanson's H-A-N-S-O-N. So again, 888-2-HANSON to be part of the program.
And that's a new number for all of Northern California.
And of course, if you're in the Sacramento region, you can still use the old standby 921-1530 that if you've been a listener of this radio program for the last almost 20 years.
Yeah, 20 years coming up July? I don't remember.
I don't know. Doesn't really matter.
I don't remember.
It's day one, though, on KGO, and we're glad you are joining us for this program. You know, this here's the first weekend in May. The markets have kind of been bouncing.
Oh, a little volatile.
They've gone really nowhere this year. Up a little, down a little. Interest rates kind of same thing. Up a little, down a little. They're
lots of talk about interest rates moving.
You notice the German bond was negative for a period of time, no longer negative, back in the little positive thing.
Congratulations, German bond.
Golly. And the dollar this last week, people were expecting April, for example, to have, for the trends in with the dollar to continue on. The funny thing that we see is by doing this more than 20 years, individuals, whether they are professional money managers or just individuals helping with doing their own money, people have a tendency to believe whatever trends are going on are going to continue on that way. So, as an example, we see the stock market has gone up dramatically since the bottom of the financial crisis. We hear people all the time giving us all the reasons why the market's going to continue to march forward. Last year, we saw the dollar rally against many other currencies, particularly the pound, but a lot of other currencies, yen. And so people believe, well, that it's going to continue this way. And people were making bets on that. And with April, we had just the opposite. We had many of these foreign currencies did extremely well, and our dollar started pulling back some.
Wait, Scott, let me get this right. It's reverting to its average? If you look at every asset class, the further it gets away from its average, the more likely it will revert to its average.
Yeah, and this show's not about trying to say, hey, we think this is going to be the hot place to be next quarter, next month, because we don't believe anyone can predict that accurately. It's helping people make wise choices. You know, it's interesting. We did Pat and I did a couple workshops. We did four workshops this week. Now,
called the seven personal decision points,
and with some of the questions, it was just a reminder that most people are more interested in not becoming poor than they are in becoming richer, particularly as you head into retirement and nearing retirement.
People would like to become richer.
Of course, everybody would like to be richer.
But the greatest desire is not to be poor.
For most people.
For most people. Actually, but, I would. Yeah, I'm going to vote. I'm in that camp.
I'm in that camp too. I'm much more concerned, frankly, about maintaining my current standard of living than I am in increasing it. Now, if you're in your 20s, that's obviously a different story, because your 20s and 30s, you're still growing your career. But as you're marching towards retirement, the closer you get to retirement, and when you're in retirement, most people are more concerned about maintaining their standard of living. So a lot of things that we talk about on this program has to do with managing risk, making sure that people don't take unknown risk. We're big fans of getting the home paid off by the time we hit retirement, so that's one less thing we have to worry about.
That's risk mitigation.
Big fans of people being highly diversified, so we don't have to...
We're not big fans of leverage in any form. Leverage in your investments, leverage on your real estate.
I was looking at some of the...
which is another word for borrowing.
Margin loans and brokerage accounts. Those margin numbers are high again.
Yes, they are.
A lot of people are borrowing money
to buy
stocks.
And pledging those stocks as collateral to borrow the money.
People have short-term memories. It wasn't that long ago where the market fell over 50%. People really took it in the chin. And if you had a loan against your stock, a lot of people lost their portfolio.
Yes. They received phone calls that said, hey, by the way, send us a check or we're going to start liquidating. And when were they liquidating? They have a tendency to liquidate towards the bottom.
Well, once, unfortunately, if you borrow money, and this is true not only with stocks, but a lot of like commercial real estate loans, there are covenants. In other words, you have certain requirements when you borrow money to buy a stock, which we're not big fans of, but people are doing that through margin lending. There are certain requirements, and the requirements are if the stock price falls to a certain point, the brokerage firm that loaned the money says, whoa, wait a minute, we don't want to take a loss here. So we're going to force you to either come up with some more cash or liquidate that stock so we can get paid.
And you see that on commercial real estate as well. In these non-traded REITs, they oftentimes that borrow money, they have the same covenants.
Absolutely, they do. Which is, if things fall to a certain point, either come up with some
the
more
ratios cash. Change in such a manner that it increases the risk for the lender. They say, "Hey, come on, guys, gotta start selling this stuff and give me back my money. I'm not comfortable anymore."
Yeah,
I don't think they call them guys though. I think it's a little more formal than that. I don't think they actually call them. I think it's probably a letter.
Huh?
I'm just talking here. It's my show too.
Okay. Why don't we take a call here? 888-2-Hanson to join the program. Again, 888-2-Hanson. We're talking with Gail. Gail, you're with Hanson McLean.
Good morning.
Hi, Gail.
I ran into Pat McLean one time at Lake Tahoe, and I have a granddaughter, and I asked him what the best thing to do for her college education, and he said the 529 scholarship.
Okay. Well, that's a great question.
But
what was I doing in Lake Tahoe?
Well, you were with your family, and I was with my family.
Oh, okay.
And you know who my family is.
Oh, I absolutely do, yes. Lovely family. I went to the daughters and the beautiful grandchildren.
Yeah, I do.
But yes.
Now my beautiful granddaughter is a junior in high school, and her mother had taken out the scholarship, 529.
Gail, can you hold 1 second? What's that? Is that on your side, Gail, or is that on our side?
And let me just...
It sounds like nursery music for Ed.
Okay.
You have a great-grandchild you're talking... Doesn't it sound like nursery music?
Yeah, my guess is it's a clock.
I'm glad I don't have nursery music in my house anymore.
So, Gail, yes. So, the 529, and your daughter is now... Or your granddaughter is now ready to use the money?
She's a junior, and they're getting ready to put their financial picture in order, and somebody told us that if the 529 is in my daughter's name with the granddaughter's name, it will go against her if she's looking for financial aid.
That's absolutely clear. Depending on how much money is in a 529, Gail, that will have impact on how much financial aid and how much money can be borrowed. That doesn't mean, and I've had people say, well, you don't want to have too much money because you get less financial aid. Well, ideally, you get to college age and you have enough money saved that you don't have to get a bunch of loans and that sort of thing.
So I guess where this question is going is you're going to ask if it makes sense to put it in your name rather than your children's name. Is that correct?
Exactly.
So I am trying to think about this, and there is a provision for grandparents to actually own it.
Absolutely, they can. But still, the child's still the beneficiary on it.
And it still counts against them. Not as much as if the parents own it. I'm trying to. I just
I
read this article 2 weeks ago.
Transfer that, though. Grant, was this account you'd set up for them, Gail?
No, my daughter set it up at her place of employment, which is the state of California.
Yeah, I don't know how you switch it over to.
But there is you can do it, but the benefit that you're looking for is minimal in doing so.
Yeah. Hey, we need to take a quick break. 888-2-HANSON to join the program. That's HANSON, 888-2-HANSON, or 916-921-1530. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Scott Hanson and Pat McLean have been airing Hanson McLean's Money Matters for nearly 20 years. The straightforward, common sense advice you hear each weekend is the same sort of advice you'll receive when you work with their advisory firm, Hanson McLean. Hanson McLean Advisors is a distinctive investment advisory firm in that it specializes with people preparing for and transitioning into retirement. The current economic environment has made it more difficult for many people to become retirement ready. Furthermore, with people living healthier, longer lives today, many folks view retirement much differently than their parents did. They want to stay active and engaged, and some don't want to ever fully retire. Hanson McLean understands that every individual is unique, and that is why they tailor their financial advice to the specific needs of each client they serve. Hanson McLean's credentialed advisors take the time to listen to their clients before they make any recommendations. And Hanson McLean's independent fiduciary model can give you confidence knowing your retirement dollars are invested properly for you. To get your retirement on track, contact them today by calling 1-888-2-HANSON or visiting them at moneymatters.com. That's moneymatters.com.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
Well, I'm Pat McLean. We got some new bumper music
I guess. It's pretty exciting.
It's what happens when you get a bunch of 20-year-olds running your show.
What do you mean?
20-something. It was different music. That wasn't music from our generation, was it?
I don't know what it was. I'd never heard that song before.
I don't know who it was.
Although I was with my daughter the other day, and a Taylor Swift song came on, and I said, I like Taylor. I kind of like Taylor Swift's songs. And my daughter's not a big Taylor Swift fan. I guess when you're 19 years old.
She was at one point in time, though, I imagine.
No, my daughter liked the hard rock stuff through high school.
Okay.
She was a little out on the edges there.
So you sing along with Taylor Swift with your daughter in the car?
I know. I'm a little.
Yeah, on your way to the Dairy Queen.
I don't know why I like.
I like Taylor Swift. But my daughter and my wife tried to watch the country. Well, they didn't try to watch it. They tried to watch it with me in the room, the Country Music Awards. I like country music, but I had to leave. Can't. Because, quite frankly, I don't think there's enough ceremonies where one industry celebrates themselves enough other than the music.
No kidding.
Or film industry.
Our financial planning conferences are very similar. We just love them. We clap. What kind of suit is that guy wearing today?
Yeah, it's
look at that. A financial advisor in a navy pinstripe suit.
Yeah.
Can you believe it?
Yeah. And he's 54 years of age. That was a shock.
There's a middle-aged white guy as a financial advisor in a navy suit.
Wow. Who would have called that?
They never look like that. Anyway, 888-2-HANSON to join Hanson McLean's Money Matters. We talk about financial matters. Let's talk with Greg. Greg, you're with Hanson McLean.
Yes, quick question. How many IRAs, Roth IRAs, can you purchase in a year? I know the max is 5,000, but how many can you actually own?
You can own as many as you want. You could put a dollar into each IRA and own as many as you want. The question we would have is, why would you want more than one IRA?
Well, what's the max you can put in an IRA?
Well, it depends on how old you are.
$5,500 for 2015.
Okay. And if you're over age, if you're over age 50, you add 1,000 to that.
50 and above.
And so what would be an avenue to invest other than that? Just stocks and bonds and other mutual funds?
Got it. So an IRA is nothing but a shell, and you could put many things inside of that IRA. So you could, even in the same IRA. So let's
say you could only do up to $5,000.
Correct.
5,500
if you're under the age of 50.
Okay.
So, but you could buy, right? So they're not either or. You could actually put the money in an IRA, and then let's say you had $15,000 to invest, you could put $5,500 into an IRA and take the $9,500 and buy whatever you want.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes. I just didn't know if you could purchase more instead of 5,000, you make it 10,000.
Oh, got it. Yeah. So you were wondering, well, if I open up 10 IRAs at $5,500 each,
exactly.
I got $55,000 into it. Yeah. No, it doesn't work like that.
But that's the only benefit you get, though, is that $5,500, and that's it.
Well, that is the maximum you could put in. The benefit is that it grows tax deferred and comes out taxed, and you get and may get a deduction for it. You might want to make a non-deductible IRA contribution and convert it to a Roth IRA.
Yeah, but you can still only max out at the $5,500 a year.
Yes, is that bad or?
Now can you convert a annuity into the Roth IRA?
So is the annuity inside of an IRA now?
No.
You cannot convert an annuity.
You could cash the thing out. You'd have to pay taxes on the...
Exactly.
Where did you buy the annuity? Did you purchase it through your employer, or did you go to a bank and the guy at the bank or the lady at the bank recommended it?
No, it was a financial advisor.
Okay. And they recommended an annuity. How much money did you put into it?
Well, it was swapping out an old annuity into a new annuity. It's an annuity I purchased like 28 years ago.
Okay.
And then had to redo it, and I put it into another annuity.
You probably didn't have to redo it, but some of those old annuity we're not big fans of annuities. Nine out of ten times we can't stand them. But some of the old contracts have guarantees in them of an interest rate of 4, 4.5.
Exactly.
I know one guy.
I've got two of those.
Okay, well, you don't want to get rid of those. Don't let anyone sell you something new on that.
The one was attached to a life insurance, though, and the life insurance was just eating it up. So,
got it. So you actually did a 1035 into an annuity out of the life insurance. Is that what you did?
Exactly.
I don't know if I would have done that. How big was that? Well, that's water under the bridge.
You know what, Greg?
30,000.
We recommend you go talk to a fee-based certified financial planner that can look at all this and help put something together. Because it sounds to me like someone sold you this years ago, someone else sold you that, someone sold you this new annuity, and you've collected all these different things, and now you're wondering about an IRA and Roth IRA and all those things.
I have a Roth.
Okay, yeah. But you don't have a plan, it sounds like. You've got a collection of products.
I got 30% in cash, 30% in the IRA, and 30% in the annuity.
And but is that a plan or that's just an allocation?
No, that's just an amount.
So let me ask you this question: if you built your house the same way you built your portfolio, would you live in it?
One area at a time, maybe.
Okay, that's actually
a good answer.
That's actually a good answer. So what you've got a plethora of questions that have to do with products, and products in our mind are only tools. Right.
Yeah.
So you don't start with it. I go to my mechanic and he says, "Well, I got a wrench. I think I should actually use the wrench." You don't do
it. But I can't swap out that annuity unless we don't know.
I don't know that. It depends on your age. It depends on a lot of things. It depends on a number of things. It's likely you can't swap that out. But what sounds like to me, you've been talking to salespeople, not financial advisors.
Oh, salespeople call themselves financial advisors oftentimes.
Here and there over the last 30 years,
what you need is a financial advisor, so
go talk to one.
A
fee-based certified financial planner, someone who doesn't get paid to sell product, someone who's going to just talk with you and help and figure out how these things can all work with one another. So it might be that you say, hey, if we take we can take some money out of this annuity, you want to get rid of this annuity, maybe we annuitize it over the next 3 or 4 years, take the funding from that to put it into an IRA. That might be an option,
that
or a Roth IRA. There's just a lot of things that can be done, but the best thing is to look at it as its entirety, not in just a one product thing. And so often we see people like you, Greg. This is very common, and our industry is
Yeah, this is not unusual. This is more common than it is uncommon.
Yeah, it's just we just see it all the time like this. So we recommend you go talk to a certified financial planner and come up with some sort of plan, not just you know, a collection
85
of
85 that you were talking about. So.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah, appreciate the
glad you called. 888-2 Hanson to join the program. Again, 888-2-HANSON. Or old-time Sacramento listeners, still the 921-1530. The thing,
it's, you know, this,
I spoke to at a university this last week, and
you were invited. I assume you were invited. You weren't just out in the quad with a...
I was bored, and I thought, you know...
I got a big sign.
I'm kind of at that age of midlife. What's my meaning here? And I thought, I'm going to go sit in some classes.
Okay.
I'm in the Philosophy 101. We're talking about Kant and all that, and it's bringing back... No.
That's creepy.
I was professor of the day. I went back and taught at a couple classes.
Are you tenured? Can you tenure after one day?
Some of those jobs wouldn't be a bad gig.
Yeah, I tenured after a day.
I was talking to one professor because... I did these two classes back to back, and I actually noticed my voice was a little hoarse afterwards. And he was asking something. Anyway, I was talking to this one professor, and he says he has, on Tuesdays, he has four classes throughout the day. And I said, man, that's a lot of talking. He says, yeah, but the rest of the week is pretty easy for him. Right?
He was trying to... Did he wink?
He was like, yeah, it's not exactly...
He did give you the wink and the point?
Not quite so bad here. But anyway... I'm up there, and one of the things I'm encouraging these finance students to consider going into the financial planning profession, because I think it's a great profession. I think there's great financial advisors. One of the things I talked about, I said the challenge is half our industry is either inept or unethical. There are just half the people in this industry, financial planning industry, they either don't know what they're doing.
You mean like when we did the workshop the other night? And someone stood up and asked a question that was so wrong. It was a math question. It was so wrong. And afterwards, he came up to me and told me he was that he sold annuity products. And I thought, oh my.
It doesn't take much to get a license to sell some of these products. So half our industry, I wouldn't trust my kids' piggy bank to half the people in our industry. And we, time and time again, we see people that have talked to advisors and they've gotten... They think advisors, and like this guy, Greg, who just called, who's got these products were sold them over years, these annuities that tend to have high commissions on them. And so as a good starting point, find somebody who's a certified financial planner and who's fee-based. Most certified financial planners...
Are fee-based.
I don't know if most are or not. Maybe that's just my view of the world.
But you can read
their... Most fee-based financial advisors are certified financial planners. That I for sure do know. But if you find someone who works on a fee basis, who's not tied to an insurance company, you know, if you're talking to somebody who says he's a financial, or she says she's a financial advisor, their business card says financial advisor, and they work for Acme Insurance Company, there's a pretty good chance they're going to recommend an Acme insurance product.
We're not indicting Acme as a bad product, by the way.
I don't know if there is an actual Acme insurance. It's
Scott, just in case. Was he selling it to the Roadrunner? I mean,
everything was Acme for the Road. That's my great education as a child. A latchkey kid, you come home and watch TV.
Yeah, latchkey kid. That's not even nice, were you? A little bit? I think everyone was in the day after the age of like 8.
So again, I was in high school.
I grew up in the suburbs. They didn't have latchkeys. You don't even know what a latchkey is.
I'm trying to have a little of that pain in my life as well. I was like, no, as a kid, both parents worked. Yeah, I was born in the 60s, so in the 70s, both parents were working. You come home, you go and you
long
flip
life
on
story?
The television. There were three channels, and one was off in the Roadrunner or some sort of cartoons.
All right. Well, after the break, maybe we could cover the ages between 12 and 18.
Some of those ages are probably best not to fully disclose. I shouldn't say that either, should I? Anyway, my point on this, I don't know what I was talking about now.
You were talking about how lonely your childhood was.
I didn't say lonely. It was entertaining.
No, we know it was lonely. Just by the way you described it. You didn't have to say it.
I had a stepbrother a year younger. I had someone to pick on and always do pranks on. Kind of sad. But, anyway, so the point back on this.
I never knew you had a stepbrother. Obviously, he's not really involved in your life. We've been partners for, what, 23 years? And now comes out you have a stepbrother?
He kind of reappeared.
No, well, he's been your stepbrother the whole time, though, right?
Yeah, but sometimes there's members of family that kind of you don't know where they are.
Okay, so now he's back in your life.
Not my life, but he's in the family. There's members of the family that have suddenly. Anyway, this is why are we talking about this? I was back to Acme Insurance. If your financial advisor works for Acme Insurance, he or she is going to sell you an Acme Insurance product 9 times out of 10. Maybe they're good, maybe they're not, but. Wouldn't you rather work with someone who's independent and can look what's best for you?
And there are hundreds of independent advisors out there.
So if you want to join the program, the number to contact us, 888-2-HANSEN, 888-2-HANSEN. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Scott Hanson and Pat McLean, hosts of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, started their investment advisory firm, Hanson McLean Advisors, some 20 years ago, with the idea of providing honest, transparent financial advice. From humble beginning with a small staff, today, Hanson McLean is one of the largest independent advisory firms in the country, with a team of advisors in Northern California. The same type of straightforward financial advice that is provided during the show is what the clients of Hanson McLean Advisors receive on a regular basis. The approach of Hanson McLean is to first listen to you and then come up with a plan to provide a greater chance of success in achieving your financial goals. Hanson McLean Advisors is not simply a store that sells one type of product. No, Hanson McLean Advisors is an independent advisory firm that pick from a wide variety of financial products to best suit your needs. So if you have yet to see how the commission-free programs of Hanson McLean Advisors can benefit you, contact them today at 1-888-2-HANSEN or visit them at HansonMcLean.com. That's Hanson McLean.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean. I like that new bumper music right there.
You like that band? What is that guy? He's a band with his name, his first name is his. Whatever. Why are we talking about this? That's irrelevant.
Who is it?
Dave Matthews Band, of course.
Yeah. I know some middle-aged women that actually follow that band around and go to a lot of his concerts.
What do you mean you know some middle-aged women that follow him around? Your wife?
No, not my wife. Middle-aged, between the ages of, like, middle-aged would be between the ages of 45 and 55. I guess that would be middle-aged. Middle-aged women. Middle-aged women that follow the Dave Matthews Band around.
We don't need to talk about that.
Okay.
Hanson McLean's Money Matters, we talk about financial matters. By the way, if you're in the Bay Area, listen to us on KGO. This is our first week on KGO, although we've been around for many, many years, almost 20 years, broadcasting out of the Sacramento region. And so welcome, KGO listeners. And if you'd like to join the program, if you got a question for us, love to take your questions. Still time to take calls. 888-2-HANSEN is our main contact number, and that's 888-2-HANSON, 888-2-HANSEN. Or if you're in the Sacramento region and you're used to the old number of 921-1530, that would work as well.
And we will get you on the air.
Yeah, so let's talk with John. John, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi, I am interested in your opinion on our first grandchild, and we would like to set up some type of a financial investment for the long term in addition to a 529 plan. My thought was to identify a specific purchase within our portfolio and note that that belongs to the grandchild, and it would be available for them sometime down the line, obviously with our approval.
Got it.
Is that a good idea, or does it?
Yes. Yes. Pretty much.
Yeah. So what you're
pretty much good or stupid?
Well, no. Yeah, they're on the right thought process.
But so what you're saying is, hey, this is what I heard anyway. We're gonna take our existing portfolio and we're going to, in our mind and maybe in a trust document, designate a portion, a specific holding to this grandchild, but you're going to maintain complete control over that in case at some point in time either you need it yourself or you don't want to give it to the child. Is that what you're thinking?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So, but I think instead of having a specific holding, John, you might be better off having a certain account. Just because you want some diversification. I mean, for example, if it was 10 years ago and you had a couple grandkids, and for one, you bought AOL stock, and the other, you bought Google stock, they would have such different outcomes that one would receive a ton of money, the other would receive next to nothing.
How much money are you talking about, John?
Well, I think we would start off with maybe $1,000, and then holidays and birthdays and so forth, we would keep adding to it. And I wasn't specifically looking at a single stock.
Got it.
But more like the broad market or the
perfect.
S&P 500.
Perfect. Yep. Perfect.
Yep.
That's a great way to handle it. And what you could do is, for example, you buy some no-load fund, put $1,000 in.
Hold it right at the company. Hold it at the company.
And then you would want to designate in your will or trust that these dollars are to go
to
your...
You wouldn't even have to do that. You could put a TOD with the transfer on death with the child's name.
How old's your grandchild?
8 months.
Well, and how old are you?
I'm 69.
Okay. The challenge is what you don't want to have happen is to have your grandchild inherit a bunch of money when they're a minor. Or on their 18th birthday,
right.
Suddenly come into.
Yeah.
Now, $1,000 isn't a lot of money, but you keep adding to it and over the years. And most kids at that stage are more interested in car catalogs than college catalogs. And so you don't want them on their 18th birthday. So that's where you would want to have your trust own it and just designate in there that I want these assets to go to my grandchild.
And I like the idea of buying the total market.
I do too.
I would go there.
You've got a long time for this.
Yeah, I'd buy the total market. And I don't know what the account minimums are at some of these mutual fund companies. Is it 1,000? I have no idea.
Some are a little higher than that.
I think they're like 20.
I can't just buy that through my existing brokerage account.
You certainly can, and make sure the dividends are reinvested back into that particular holding if that's what you want to do.
The challenge you'll have if it's in your existing brokerage account, it does make it a little more complicated.
You can do that. It's easy.
Yeah, but it's almost easier to put a certain percentage of your estate to go to the grandchild because. Look, here's the challenge. Your grandchild's a baby. Odds are, statistically, you'll be around till the grandchild graduates high school and goes to college. But if something happens, let's say you buy that mutual fund for the grandchild today. Maybe the mutual fund company merges with another fund at some point in time. We've seen it. Well, we're looking at a trust. Someone passes away.
Oh, yeah, and there's nothing in it.
That asset's no longer there.
Yeah.
Because they listed a certain asset or said, I want CD from bank account XYZ.
Why listen to the trust? I think what you imagine is this is a sinking pot to give to the child while you're alive, correct, John?
Well, and even if both my wife and I were to die, our estate would go to our two kids.
And tell me about...
And of course, this is...
Are your kids responsible? Are your children responsible?
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah.
What I would do is I would not have this fund in your overall brokerage account. I would set up a separate account for it.
I would as well.
Okay.
Just hold it at the mutual fund company.
Mutual fund or ETF, does it matter?
With this small amount, you want to use a mutual fund because otherwise with an ETF, you're going to have to buy it like you buy a stock. It's going to be a transaction cost. It's going to be add to this small amount, you're much better off with just a good no-load fund.
Yeah, so go find one of the large complexes that sells the total market and figure out what their account minimums are.
And want a nice low-cost one.
Okay, thank you very much.
Hey, thank you, John. Yeah, appreciate you calling. And the thing about 529 plans, and I know we think we had a call earlier in the program, when a grandparent owns a 529 plan or a parent... It's when the money is distributed from that 529 plan that could have an impact on financial aid, as opposed to
the way he's holding it.
And a grandparent could just pay the tuition directly, and it's unlimited amount you can pay.
You just did it with one of my clients.
You just did it.
one of my clients, we just recommended they do it.
They do what?
Pay the tuition directly.
Because it's that...
Because he was gifting to the maximum to his children. He didn't want to gift to his grandchildren, but it was a way to... It when you pay for tuition directly, it has nothing to do with the gift.
Yeah. And so if you've got grandkids that you're helping out with college, oftentimes it's best just to pay the dollars directly to the financial institution.
Actually, this wasn't even college. We were paying for high school. It was a private high school. It's any tuition. It doesn't have to be just college.
Private high school. This kid was born in the right family. He's got grandparents already gifting the maximum to him. He's in high school.
No, his grandparents were gifting the maximum to their children. They weren't gifting to the grandchild, but they were paying the tuition of the grandchild. And yes, the child was born in the right family. He had the forethought to figure that out.
my friend's kid turned 16 and they bought this really nice car. I'm like, wow, you got your kid a nice car. And he's, oh, no, she paid for it with her own money.
Well,
because she had been working since 4? I mean, you know. I said, what do you mean her own money? What 16-year-old has money? I mean, if you have
Oh, you'll be invited over often, Scott.
You know, he's a good friend of mine, listens to the show, too.
Well, he was.
Huh? I teased him then, too. I laughed at him then, too. What do you mean the kid's been saving? The kid's own money. What 16-year-old has money?
You have money from
family. Which is good.
You must have an incredible amount of friends just to lose them like that, right? In their face and on the air. You must have like dozens of them. I don't have that luxury.
I did see if he wanted to go bicycle riding this morning early, and he did not want to go, so maybe.
I don't have that luxury of ridiculing my friends on radio. I've not as many as you.
I don't know how we got on this topic again.
Okay.
Here it is.
Okay, let's do you want?
You're like, hey, before we go to the break, I want to make note of our website, moneymatters.com. We put a lot of work in this last.
Not us, our firm. You're taking credit for everything. Scott and I were up programming late last night.
We provide some direction, content. I write for the thing and all that.
All right.
So
good work.
Thank you, Mr. McLean. Moneymatters.com. If you haven't been to moneymatters.com, we encourage you to go there, because while you're there, there's lots of good information. We've got videos on things, and it's just a good educational tool. Of course, you can also visit our Hanson McLean website at hansonmclean.com to learn more about what Hanson McLean does. But the good thing about the Money Matters website, it's really designed for education and for you to
learn
things and all that sort of stuff.
So, videos.
We got to take a quick break. We still have time to take a couple calls. 888-2-HANSON is the number. That's HANSON. You're listening to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Scott Hanson and Pat McLean have been airing Hanson McLean's Money Matters for nearly 20 years. The straightforward, common sense advice you hear each weekend is the same sort of advice you'll receive when you work with their advisory firm, Hanson McLean. Hanson McLean Advisors is a distinctive investment advisory firm in that it specializes with people preparing for and transitioning into retirement. The current economic environment has made it more difficult for many people to become retirement ready. Furthermore, with people living healthier, longer lives today, many folks view retirement much differently than their parents did. They want to stay active and engaged, and some don't want to ever fully retire. Hanson McLean understands that every individual is unique, and that is why they tailor their financial advice to the specific needs of each client they serve. Hanson McLean's credentialed advisors take the time to listen to their clients before they make any recommendations. And Hanson McLean's independent fiduciary model can give you confidence knowing your retirement dollars are invested properly for you. To get your retirement on track, contact them today by calling 1-888-2-HANSON or visiting them at moneymatters.com. That's moneymatters.com.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson. Are you watching that? Isn't that big fight tonight?
Pacquiao and Mayweather?
Yeah.
No, I'm not. Are you?
You knew about it. No, I'm not. But
my barber invited me down to watch it at the barber shop. Not my barber. He owns the barber shop. I'd never let this guy cut my hair.
They have
barbecue and big screen TV.
I haven't watched a boxing match, and I can't tell you how many years. I guess it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people Probably haven't watched boxing matches. I was invited to a couple places to watch it.
Really?
Yeah.
You just said you didn't have many friends. I was invited nowhere.
They're mostly fundraisers. And
yeah, that's why I do have a lot of friends there. It's amazing.
It is.
Always invited to some sort of. Yeah. Oh, you want to have me for dinner? Yeah, oh, you want me to buy a table for dinner? Yes. That's the fundraising thing. I get it. Anyway, this is Hanson McClain's Money Matters. 888-2-HANSON is the number to be part of the program. Again, 888-2-HANSON.
H-A-N-S-O-N.
Yes, don't get that wrong. Let's talk to Eric. Eric, you're with Hanson McClain.
Hi.
Hi, Eric.
I have a 457 with the state.
Okay.
About $110,000 in there. And I talked to a friend who's a financial advisor, independent. And he'll work with me for just $50,000 if I can come up with $50,000. So I thought I'd take some of that out.
Are you retired?
Yes.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
How old are you?
62.
Okay. What's your question for us?
Should I do that? Should I take out some of that 457 and have him handle it instead of the state? Right now I have it in a conservative investments because I was worried I'm not that young and I'm already retired. I'm not taking any of the money. No, I'm not taking distributions from that yet. But I just wonder if that's a good idea.
Well, so right now
to manage it instead of it just being in the conservative.
Yeah. Okay. So that's the point. So the state's not really managing it for you. The state gives you this option of 401ks and 457. You have money in the 457. You're retired now. It's up to you to choose the allocations on it. So your options are to A, do nothing, leave it in the existing allocations. B, reallocate it within the existing 457. Or C, transfer it to some financial advisor to manage it for you.
Right.
So if you believe that this financial advisor can add value in both the management of the 457 as well as helping you in other financial planning, then I think it's an absolutely great move.
If you, in fact, think he can't, then you leave it where it's at. When you say it's in conservative, what particular fund do you own in the deferred compensation 457 plan?
Oh, what's that one? It's right at the very, not the bottom one, not the money market, but one above
the
that.
The guaranteed interest.
The guaranteed interest, right?
Yeah.
So here is the...
No, it's the other one. It's just conservative investments, very conservative.
I mean, I don't know. I haven't memorized the listing of the...
It's not making much at all. It's only making like 1%, if that.
So I think it's in the guaranteed interest contract, the fixed account.
Okay.
Anyway.
So the thing is, so you're retiree from the state. You've got a nice pension with a cost of living adjustment. Do you have Social Security as well, or will you in the future?
I was wondering if I should start taking that, too.
Well, let's hold off for a second on that. So you've got a lot of guaranteed income, and you're not taking money from the 457 currently.
Right.
So the thing that... With this 457, because you don't need the income today, you've got a lot of options. You can say either one, I want to just keep it really conservative. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to think about a thing. I'm not earning much, but I don't have to worry about losing it. Or you can say, wow, I've got so much guaranteed income coming in. I don't need these dollars. I can afford to take on some additional risk with the hopes of earning greater returns so I can have more money to spend in the future.
Right.
And both of those are fine avenues to take. There's nothing wrong with saying, I don't need the money, therefore I want to be conservative. And there's nothing wrong with saying, I don't need the money, therefore I'm going to take some additional risk with these dollars.
Well, I don't like messing with money. I would rather have someone do it. So to me, it seems like a good idea to let this Jim handle it for me.
All right. So then the only thing you have to do is actually do a little research on Jim to make sure he's good.
Definitely good. He's done well in the crash and everything else, and he's been able to keep people from losing even through the crash.
So, but you still want to do some research on Jim's background, his regulatory background.
Oh, he's a financial advisor and a CPA.
It doesn't matter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Bernie Madoff was very well recognized in our industry. Although that's a bad example because he had a clean record when he got... arrested. So just go type in his name and then type in BrightScope.
Google Broker Check.
Oh, Broker Check. Good enough.
Google Broker Check. I would do that beforehand.
Go on Broker Check.
Yeah. I would do that beforehand. Broker Check just to see where things are. Anyway.
Okay. Great.
All right, Eric. Appreciate the call.
Thank you.
All right. And I'm also, I'm always a little hesitant about working with friends.
I'm not. You have friends that are clients.
Of someone in the firm.
Ah, that's an excellent point. You don't work with them directly. I try not to.
I try not to work with friends directly. Obviously, I appreciate the business.
Well, it depends how close of friends they are. They're just people you know from church.
Well, the really close ones get some free advice. It's just kind of how it works, right?
Are you giving out free advice?
You double charge your friends? They're so trusting and all.
That's awful.
That's terrible. My point is, typically...
Yeah, that's right. My relatives get free advice.
When a friend approaches me and says, Scott, you're a financial advisor. Can you help me with... I've got this or that going on. I typically say, yes, I'd love to help you. I would prefer if you worked with another one of our advisors in my organization that we select. We've got 17 or 18 certified financial planners. I would prefer that you work with one of our advisors because I think you'll get more direct. I found this over the years. Friends,
You kind of sugarcoat things? You don't tell them?
I don't know. It's just not as comfortable for me. Yes. So I prefer having friends work with other advisors. So when someone says that their friend has approached them on something, I don't know.
Yeah.
It just makes me a little...
And you should always do some background check on your advisor.
Broker check is a great, just Google broker check.
And you can type in the person's name and it will give you their regulatory history.
It'll tell you if they filed bankruptcy. You might want to know that.
if they have complaints against them, how they were settled, if they were settled, what the pending complaints are. You should do it. I mean, that's one of the things about our industry is that stuff is all disclosed and it's incumbent upon the client to actually do the research.
Yeah. 888-2-HANSON to be part of the program. Again, 1-888-2-HANSON if you want to be part of the program. I was looking at a study this week. Actually, there's actually a few interesting studies that I saw out this week. One was on career changes after age 45. So a lot of our job as financial advisors is helping people get to a point in their life where they are financially independent, where retirement is an option for them. Not that everyone wants to retire young or not that it's always good for them either.
Or that they will, once they become financially independent, retire. So there's people that have been on work for 20, 30 years, same job, doesn't necessarily mean that they can retire, they will retire.
I'm glad Bill Gates didn't retire as soon as he had enough money to.
Yeah.
Right. Or Steve Jobs. There's a lot of people. I'm glad they didn't retire as soon as they were financially independent. The point is becoming having some financial independence. And there we certainly see a lot of people in their middle life, let's say mid 40s or 50, that are in a career that they don't like. And but it's not an easy time to make a career choice.
Yes.
Particularly if you've got a couple of kids, you're still supportive and you've been in the same career for 20 years and your income's relatively high on this. And it's certainly seen a lot of people grapple with that. And part of the time as the financial advisors, when we're dealing with people is helping them plan these things out. And there are sometimes people come to us and say, hey, I'm thinking about this career change. What might this look like? And that sort of thing. Anyway, so this was a study from the American Institute for Economic Research, wherever they are. I don't know where they are, but anyway, that's who the study was. 82% of those who attempted a career change after age 45 were successful in that.
That high?
Yes, that's why I'm reading this. That's why I'm telling the story.
That's pretty amazing.
87% were happy they did so.
Even though they weren't successful.
65% felt less stress.
So 5% were happy they did it even though they weren't successful at it.
According to the study, 87% were happy they did so.
And...
65% felt less stress afterwards.
So 17% went through this life-changing, gut-wrenching change in their life
after age 45
for absolutely no reason.
What?
17%, which is the difference between 65 and 82.
I'm trying to add some encouragement to those that are
thinking about.
Yes. So, and of the you were thinking about pay, right? Because that's the problem. You've had some. You're at the top of your career. Suddenly, you're making.
Well, you might not be at the top of your career. That might be one of the reasons you're considering.
Well, fair enough. If you're at the top of your career, you're probably not going to look at a career change. So you're probably in some mid-level in your career. Maybe you've bounced up a cup against a couple
maybe
walls.
You feel like it's really not.
Maybe you're
out.
Still at the bottom of your career. For 25 years, you've been grinding at it. You're still in an entry-level job. So I'm not going to make any assumptions here. Is that what you're saying? Let's don't make assumptions.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
So we're looking at a career change.
Just
as far as pay goes, these are people after age 45 who made a career change. 35% saw their pay go up, and 31% saw their pay go down. So the rest were, a third was about the same.
A third went up, a third went down, a third went, this was the same. I would have never thought it was that high.
That's why I'm reading this study. This was a study from the American Institute for Economic Research. And if they call themselves the American Institute for Economic Research, you know that it's a good researcher.
I don't know. You just can't call yourself that and not be good researchers.
It's right in the name.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, so just keep that in mind. If you're, and truly, for a lot of people, you would be better off spending your ages in your 50s at a job that you love, even if it's not as much money and causes you to delay your retirement. You're going to find more satisfaction out of that.
We see it all the time.
Than sticking it at a job that you hate and counting down the years until your retirement ready. Anyway, we are running out of time here. You've been listening to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. We come to you each week at this hour. So KGO listeners, glad you are here with us. This is our first week on KGO. We're here in KGO every Saturday from 4 to 5. And on Sacramento on 1530 KFBK. It's every Saturday from 10 to 11, rebroadcast again Sundays at 2 to 3. And if you want to learn more, go to moneymatters.com. At moneymatters.com, you can get podcasts of this very program. You can sign up also so you get a podcast delivered to you each and every week. I don't know what would be more exciting than that, but it's been great being here with you. Pat and myself are both looking forward to our long time here at KGO. And enjoy the rest of your weekend.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific financial advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor or conduct your own due diligence.